Okay. We'll pray and we'll get started. Father, I do thank you for this time. Lord, each week I know you just challenge us to seek you and see what you say about you through your word. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't stuff you into a box and try to fit you into our ideas. So I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would instruct us in the things that you want us to learn tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We already made it through a whole chapter. Which you didn't start with, but that's okay. We're all the way through Matthew 5. We're starting into Matthew 6. You read the first part. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now, we're going to also probably go in, that's just verse 1. Probably going to go into verse 2 that says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. For I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Again, Matthew is a very Jewish oriented gospel. Matthew wrote to the Jews. Mark wrote kind of combined Jews, Gentiles. Luke wrote predominantly to the Gentiles. And John was just really overall, look, here's your God. Understand this. But Matthew appealed to the Jews. His genealogy was the Davidic line that would have been known more by the Jewish people, to take it back to Abraham and then to David and then the promise of David's throne. Luke took it all the way back to Adam and said, "Behold the man." And so it was more like everybody's part of this. So much of what you have in here is Jewish oriented. To the Jews, to be considered righteous and religious was measured by three things. Anybody know what those three things might be? Your almsgiving, your prayer, and your fasting.
How do you?
Alms is like tithing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, if you notice, Jesus starts here with, be careful in your acts of righteousness. And then he goes immediately into giving. The next verse will be prayer. And after that will be fasting. And so he addresses the heart of what they thought was it. Does anybody remember what I said is the key verse in this whole section on the Sermon on the Mount? It's Matthew 5:20. "For I tell you that unless your righteousness," he's talking to them, he goes, "unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Sadducees and the Pharisees," the performers, the pretenders, the guys that want to be seen by all of you. But later on I'm going to tell them that they're rotten on the inside. They're all show. They're not going anywhere. So he says your righteousness better surpass that of the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Notice how he then says, "You've heard it said in the law, this is the law." You've heard it said. You've heard what these guys have told you, but they're fakers. They don't even know it. They search the scriptures, but they just want the scriptures to tell them what they want to hear. They have taken God and reduced him to their box and said, "This is what I want to see it be." And So here he says some of the things to take out of this is he says, be careful. It's a warning. Be careful. It's going to be something you're going to want to do. Remember, he just gave them all these things. Here's your attitude toward murder, toward adultery, divorce, oaths, an eye for an eye, love your enemies. They're all hard attitudes. You won't have these problems if your heart's right. Then you go back to the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. We're going to start studying that, and you guys are welcome to, actually, when we go on Sunday mornings, you're going to come to that class. I'm Reverend Travis, she's got systematic theology, and a lot of young people. So if you guys ever want to go to that class, you're going to learn, what we're going to learn in that class is that what God wants to see and how the cross becomes more and more and more and more important in our life is if we will begin to see the holiness of God. God doesn't become more holy. He's as holy as He's ever going to be. But our understanding of His holiness, as it grows, this line will go like this. And if we understand more of our sinfulness, blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that are poor in spirit. You realize how little you have to offer God. And the more you understand Him, the smaller you look. And you understand that. It's not an intimidation thing. It's just going, wow, He is so immense. You're not changing. And neither is He. But you're, as your understanding of how unbelievable He is, you become more and more and more and more insignificant. And He becomes... So that line goes up. But then when you start to understand your sinfulness and you understand just who you really are and what you were really saved out of, that line goes down this way. And you see how the cross becomes bigger? Because all of a sudden, grace becomes even greater because you're going, wow. You know, what I saw back here at the beginning when I understood that I'm a jerk, but He can save me even though I'm a jerk. And I did this and I did this and I did this. And then you find out He's got a second chances and third chances. And then, actually, if you want to turn back to Him, even when you're blind, He's there. And it just becomes bigger. And that's what He wants us to get. So here He's saying, be careful. Be careful and don't let this be you. Do not let your acts of righteousness... What does that speak to you when you hear the words acts of righteousness?
Good deeds.
Okay, good deeds. What is righteousness? That is a big, that's a big part of this whole section because it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then in the end it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So righteousness is a huge thing. What is righteousness? What's the base word?
Right.
Okay, so when we're talking about our relationship with who?
Jesus.
And with God, yeah. So righteousness would be being right in His eyes, not ours. What is righteousness before God? Not before other men. One of the things we talked about before is that it with love your enemies is that a lot of people will set up their, remember what I'm talking about, they'll set up their own laws, their idea of what's right and what's wrong, and if you fall outside, we all do it. Even within Christianity, outside of Christianity, it's a mankind trait. I'm going to have my moral value, my moral compass, and if you fall outside of that, you ain't right. Okay? We kind of have our own idea of sin. Or, even if they don't use the word, that's wrong. Like, and how do some people change that a little bit? Don't some, like, what's a white lie?
A small lie?
Suppose if it, yeah, well, why is it white?
Because white is for pure and
innocent. It's an innocent lie. It's not really going to hurt somebody. It'd be like if Abe Lincoln, when she said, was it too big, he said, no. You know, and his honesty got him in trouble. No. The point being is, it's, what is it, you know, we have to look at it. What are white lies? problem is, do you understand that if I draw a line in the sand, a white lie is what I call a white lie. And all of a sudden, you don't call it a white lie. To you, it's a lie. Because you don't know what my motivation was to have made it. But then what if I'm okay with that white lie? And I move the line. Do you think society has moved the line in the last 50 years? Do you think 50 years ago abortion would have been okay? Killing little babies would have been okay? Unheard of. Nobody would have believed we'd get to where we're at and say it's okay.
Most of the stuff on TV would
have been. Right. I mean, do you understand how people... think back to what you saw in Civil War days. Did you see what women wore? I mean, most of the time they do. Some of them, they look like they might have been exposed a little too much on top, but there were dresses that went like to the ground, that were like really billowy. You couldn't even tell anything about. I mean, they were like big. Guys wore wigs still, some of them, more back in the Revolutionary War. But the point is, there was a standard of decency that doesn't exist today. There was an expectation. Anybody know what the Scarlet Letter was about?
Isn't that like if you did something impure, or like, wasn't it mainly for women?
Yeah.
If like they had sex out of marriage, they got a Scarlet Letter, like, and it was like on their forehead or something?
Uh-huh. And it identified them as basically being unacceptable. Okay? Nowadays, if you got that Scarlet Letter, that would be a badge of being a good performer. From either a guy or a girl. What I'm trying to say is, look how we moved the line. If mankind sets the standard, they'll move the line. Francis Schaeffer is one of my favorite teachers. Francis Schaeffer said, if God is not sovereign, if God is not in control, then man is. And if man is in control, then there's no absolute. Because the line can be moved to wherever man feels good about it. Because good and evil, when man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, good and evil will be what whoever's in power or whoever's got the biggest pulpit says it is. What I mean by that is that television is a big pulpit and it tries to tell the world what's good and what's not good. Newspapers, the media, the internet, everything tries to tell us what's good and what's not by their standards. What this is saying, be careful that when you do your acts of righteousness, it says do them. Be careful when you do your acts of righteousness. It's not that you're not supposed to. But it says, when you do your acts of righteousness before men. And two of the things that kind of got me there were, I think of an actor before men. You're on the stage. And we're all on the stage every day. And we're all being observed every day. One of my favorite sayings is, if that we are supposed to witness at all times and when necessary, use words. Anybody know what that means?
How you act speaks louder than what you say.
Yeah. Let your acts of righteousness be how you live. I mean, wouldn't you like to have it said of you, if you let a bad word slip out, that somebody would say, you need to sit up so you don't do that, you need to do that. If a bad word slipped out or something happened like that, somebody would go, wow, I would have never expected that from you. I wouldn't want to have slipped up, but I would love to have people say, I'd never expect that from you. Why? Because I've acted, or I've done well enough in front that people go, you're my king. I just don't expect them to say that or to do that. I have a higher expectation. They've taught me to believe that they're better than that. Now, what he says is, though, be really careful that when you live out your life in front of people, letting God live through you in front of people, that you do not do it to be seen of them. Let me go back over here and read a verse. So, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. I'm going to read Matthew 5:16, that Jesus would have said just a little before that. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Okay, a couple of key words there. Let. Remember when he talked about the light before? He said, anybody who has a light and they want people to see it, they don't take that light and hide it. Basically, he said, don't do anything to hide your light. It doesn't say, make your light so shine that others see your good deeds. He says, let your light shine. The shining isn't you. Let it come through you to the extent that they see God as the source of that light. Let it shine in such a manner that they see it, but don't do it to be seen. Do it that they might know God. Jesus said in John 17, and I use it all the time, He said, Father, I have revealed you to them, and I'm going to continue to do so that they might love you, and one day they might love me like you love me. I mean, that's hard to get my mind around. Wait a minute. He's saying, one day we're going to love Jesus like the Father loves Him? We're going to have that much love for Jesus? As He does for His own Son? Because He said, in that day, we'll all three be one. And then we'll truly see Him for what? Because we'll be of the same nature. We'll be of that. And that's where He wants to bring us to. That likeness. We're going to fall on our faces all the time. We're going to have discussions like we had last night where we all blow it. And we all fall into saying things that shouldn't be said. And having attitudes that shouldn't be had. That we're human. We're going to mess up. But God wants to keep pulling us individually up those strings toward Jesus' likeness, God's likeness. And He says, let that shine. Let it out. Let it become who you are. The more you become not you, the more you become Him. In fact, He says, you can't do anything eternal. You can't do anything of spiritual value in the flesh. Does that mean that while you live, you can't do anything that's going to last? What He's really saying is, if you make the effort, if you're the one that thought it up, it's not going to happen. But there's times when you know God's pulling on your heart to do a certain thing, to act a certain way, to quit acting a certain way, to treat somebody different than you've been treating them, to do certain things different ways, to come clean on something, whatever it is. You know God's laying that on your heart. Sometimes you want to turn and run from a situation. God says, that's where you belong. And sometimes God says, take the persecution. It's okay. They need to see that. A lot of times God puts you somewhere not for your good, but for somebody else's. So, let your light shine before men. There's nothing wrong about having it happen before men. Okay, but then he does go on to say, But if you do it to be seen of men, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What I've said oftentimes is the kingdom of God requires citizenship. The kingdom of heaven is a citizenship. The kingdom of earth is a citizenship you're born into. God says you can't keep this one and have this one. You have to have one or the other. And if you take this one, pretty soon this one clearly sees. If you take the kingdom of heaven, and you take your citizenship as a king, as a child of the king, pretty soon, being a child of this world, people don't like you. You don't belong. You're not like us. And they persecute you. And you make them very uncomfortable. Your goal is not to make them uncomfortable, but you will make them uncomfortable the more God-like you are. They killed Jesus because he made them very uncomfortable. The more people are like Christ, the more they're going to be making people uncomfortable. Just by being, if you're an example, if everybody's partying, and you're not, either you're right. Why do you think people get called, what kind of names? If you don't go to party, if you don't have sex, if you don't do these things, what do you call them? Huh? A booger? A what?
A butthead.
A butthead?
Really?
Okay. I thought that's what people call people that did. But, a scrub?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A scrub.
That's a weird name, sorry. But that's I never heard it called that. Usually they call, like, girls prudes, guys, if you don't party, you don't go out drinking, you're a do-gooder, you're a mama's boy, you're this or that. But they put you down. They basically say, but do you understand they have to? Because if you don't and you're okay, then you're right and they're wrong. It doesn't matter if nine of them do it and one of them doesn't. The one that doesn't brings a light on the nine. And it makes, if all ten do it, nobody thinks about it. There's no light in the darkness. Everybody's running around in the dark and nobody knows it. And everybody's cool with it. When you have one person with a flashlight, nobody likes it. Nobody really wants their deeds brought into the light, because if it is, they all really know it's wrong. They just don't want to say it's wrong. And they don't want anybody else to say it's wrong. I know people in my own family who won't receive Christ because they said, I want to go on living the way I live. I know that if I become a Christian, I've got to change how I live, and I'm not willing to do it. I don't want to quit living this way. I like it. And true Christianity demands a change. The other thing is, the Father says there's only one citizenship in one or the other. He says there's only one reward. The act that you do has one reward. If you get it now, don't expect it later. Erase it. Later on we're going to talk about treasure stored up in heaven. There's going to be a lot of Christians. One of my favorite all times is this Christian shows up in heaven and he says, oh boy, can you show me that mansion that you prepared beforehand? The Bible told me about it. You're going to build this mansion. And he goes over and he goes, that's yours. But that's like mobile homes bigger than that. And he goes, you know what? That's you. All I could build with was what you sent ahead. And that's all you sent. That was your rewards that you sent ahead. That's it. That's all you gave me to work with. It says we store up treasures for ourselves in heaven by doing acts of righteousness, but not if we do them to be seen of men. The second we start telling everybody about the things that we do, the second that we take any every week I tell you, I fall guilty to these things. People look at their lives and they go, who am I? You know, for the lot, you know, sometimes for you, you struggle. Because sometimes your measure of who you are is, you know, who am I? Well, am I a football fan? You know, pretty soon I'm going to be an Air Force guy. You know, am I physically better than a lot of other guys? You know, these become measures of who I am. You know, who's yours? Well, I can debate with anybody. I can do this, you know. Each person would say, I have something. You know, well, I used to think my Bible study was what made me, you know, or that I did, you know, I'd have to make sure that I told people that because it meant something. It was my measure of my worth. And it could be one of the reasons that God, you know, took that part over there. Oh, and that's okay. I would rather lose whatever to grow to be what He wants me to be than to have it and keep blowing it with it. I don't want my reward to be here. I don't want it to be empty. I don't want it to end up being nothing. But it's hard. Now, if we do things to be seen of others, who are we really rewarding? Huh? Ourselves. I want you to think more highly of me, so I'm going to perform in front of you. I'm going to act the way I think you will find acceptable for my sake. Not for your sake. Honestly, if you're doing it for their sake, in a lot of cases, it's the right thing to do. If you do it for no other reason than because it's the right thing. I used that kind of little phrase last week that was thought unusual. Do you remember what it was? You guys had kind of different terminology than I said some
good
people thought.
Nothing.
Huh?
Good for nothing.
Good for nothing. What do I mean by that?
You do good for nothing in return.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're doing something for somebody else to be seen of them, but your motivation, it being seen of them, is to let them know that they're loved, that somebody cares enough to do it for them. That can be a right reason. You know, it's really, really... Isn't it too right? Can you do right things for wrong reasons? And a lot of people did. And so, you know, you have to watch that you... One of the Beatitudes says, blessed are the pure in heart. That's a measure of when you're doing what you're doing. What's the purity of your heart? Why are you doing it? You got to keep taking that before the Lord, because... What does the Bible tell us about our heart? Anybody know? Heart's pretty pure, pretty straightforward, pretty easy to trust. What's it say?
Your heart will deceive you.
Yep, the heart. Like that. Yep, the heart's deceitful above all things. That's why God says, guess who's the worst person to analyze how you're doing spiritually?
Yourself.
You. That's why the Bible says, God, search my heart. You search my heart and then reveal to me what you see. Don't let me do it because I got kind of this high opinion. Or people get so down they got this low opinion. I don't see anything worthwhile there. And so he goes on to say, so when you give to the needy, are you supposed to give to the needy? How do you know by that statement?
It said when, not if.
Yeah. When you give to the needy. When you give to the needy, do not announce it. What do you think that means?
Don't go around bragging about it to get more respect for yourself.
Okay, what do you think this was? Who would be kind of speaking about? Who was he comparing it to?
Sadducees and Pharisees.
Anybody remember the example of the Sadducee or Pharisee that was praying? There was a Sadducee or Pharisee who was praying, and there was a publican or a tax collector that was in there? They were both praying. Do you remember what the statement was in there? Oh Lord, thank you that I'm not like him. And the publican or the tax collector said, Lord, I don't have a right to even be here. I don't have a right to, but please take what little I have, take in there. It was just brokenness. That's what God said. In fact, even God says, I don't desire your sacrifice. I don't really need it. What I want is a broken and contrite heart. That's what I want. That's what I'll bless. That's what I'll build on. When you're broken before me. So, he says, don't announce it like the hypocrites. So a hypocrite, again, is somebody who shouts, I'm a Christian, and then backstabs people, lies about people, cheats people. I mean, basically, you know what? I've been one of those hypocrites. And I still am at times. But I was a big time hypocrite. Openly. People who live double lives. People who have this going on when they're acting this part out in front of people. This is what I want the world to see. This is who I really am behind the scenes. That's a hypocrite. So God says he hates. He doesn't want to hear them. And he goes, when you go out and you give things to the needy, when you do the things that you do, don't go telling everybody about it. Just do them because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes people don't even know what people did until they're gone. And that's okay. Because they got their reward in heaven. He says, if you do it so that people will reward you, will think better of you. So that's it. That's your reward. It's not going any higher. You just got it. You received the whole thing. He said, they do it to be honored by men. That's what they got. The honor of men. How long does the honor of men usually last?
As long as they need to around.
Yeah, pretty shallow, isn't it?
Mm.
One day you can be a hero, next day you're nobody. One day you're wonderful, next day you're a jerk. It really didn't matter what you did yesterday. You screw up one time. You're nobody. I mean, that even works with bosses. You know, they always say about salesmen, they say, the real thing is, what have you done for me lately? I don't want to know what you did for me in the past. I want to know what you're doing for me today. You know, so you got to go out and win their honor every day. God says, I just want you to be you. That was one of the things, we kind of learned a little bit of that last week in the sermon, when he was talking about David. And David was going to go out and they said, you need to put on this armor. You need to be somebody you're not. You can't go fight that giant being who you are. You got to be somebody you're not. Put on my armor and go be somebody you're not. And he goes, no. I'm good enough. Because it doesn't matter. What he said, if you were to really look at the David and Goliath story, do you know what David said to Goliath? He says, you don't stand a chance. He had it right. He looked at Goliath. And if we could do this to the problems of the world, if we could do this to the things that confront us, he said, all you have is a shield and a spear and that armor. That's all you got. That's almost 8 foot tall. He's got a big spear. And he got a big helmet. I mean, and David's laughing at him going, you got nothing. He said, you know what? I come to you in the name of the Lord. You're not fighting me. Do you understand? You plus God is a majority. I don't care the number on the other side. As soon as it's you plus God, it's a majority on your side. And God says, go in that strength. Don't worry about what they think. Everybody thought that David was out of his gourd. I mean, his brothers were writing letters to their dad about how their little David got killed. You know, they were already getting ready to write a note to Jesse and tell him, my little brother, he did a doofus thing. He went out. He's gone. You know, they didn't think he stood a chance. But David didn't worry about it. And he also used what he had. He can go look for something else. He used what God provided. And God provides each of us different things. And he goes, just go out, but don't go out to be honored by men. For I tell you the truth, again, that they have received their reward in full. That's all they're going to get. They're not getting any more. There are churches who take this to a point, and I don't think that it's totally wrong. I don't have a problem with it. There are churches who will not allow their congregations to applaud. When they have people come in and sing, when they have people do things as Christians, they tell them, please don't applaud. We don't want to steal their reward. Normally those are in Baptist churches. They're more the ones that I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls that do and, you know, don't go to movies because they can do this and don't go to this and don't go to this. And, you know, and it's like all about the don'ts. Instead of just be about the do's. What if you didn't do it to get the applause? Does it matter if you got the applause? God's going to judge your heart, not whether somebody applauded. He's going to judge whether or not you did it for the right reasons. Because if nobody applauded whatsoever, but you did it hoping that everybody would think you're awesome. Boy, I hope they just love my voice. I hope they think I'm just great. I hope they see me. What if you went up there and said, boy, I just hope this song touches somebody's heart. I hope just somehow God uses this to pierce whatever's hurting somebody at this moment and helps them. And you don't worry about it. It doesn't matter if they applaud or they don't. God is telling you right here, I'm going to judge your heart. I'm going to look at not so much what you do, but why you do what you do. It says, so when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That's kind of a weird statement. What do you guys think that means? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing.
Around telling everybody what good things to do.
Mm-hmm. And some of it has to do with, you know, I'm sure there's other commentaries that would really get deep into that because, you know, probably using the left hand and the right hand, you know, connotation, right? Most people back, you know, most people are right-handed, so don't let, you know, basically it's like, you know, don't go around, part of it is, don't go around planning to do good deeds. You know, you're spending your time, okay, I'm going to come up. Just be responsive. Just do. If you listen to the radio, and I've got one right now, it's kind of tugging on my heart. You know, maybe instead of giving our donation to the church next week, I'm thinking, you know, maybe we'll write a check to WIB, the radio station up there in Eau Claire, because for every $5 you'll give them, they'll get a Bible into somebody's hand in a country where they don't have Bibles. And somebody will match that. So for every $5 you give, it's another $5. And so you give them $50, somebody's getting 100 Bibles to take over somewhere. And, you know, I'm thinking, I want to do that. I want to, you know. But it's not like I'm sitting there going, well, I'm planning those good deeds. God's piercing my heart. He just, you know, and I'm not sitting here going, oh, look great at me because I want. No, I'm just saying, it's because. So I don't. They're not going to know who bought it. Lord, get this Bible into whoever's hands you know they need it. It might be the town's Bible. It might be the only one they have in that village. That's it. You know, have it in their language. But, you know, it just, you know, but you can't go, okay, let me see, right and left hand, let's try and figure out what we're going to do together to do something good. You respond when God burdens your heart about something. And so it says the last point is you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You don't let the world know what you're doing. You don't go run around and make sure everybody's got it figured out that you're doing this. And it says, but instead, do it in secret. And it says, then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. See, God doesn't have to see what's out in the open. God doesn't have to see what everybody else is seeing. God sees everything you do. You know, most of the time, a secret is what you want. Don't want anybody to know. God says, I see that one too. I see all the things done in secret. Okay? I see them whether they're good things done in secret or bad things done in secret. So remember, that part of what's being said there is that the one who sees what's done in secret will reward you. But it says, in the same way that you would probably hide something that you did wrong. You know, like when you used to sneak food at night and not tell anybody? You didn't think I knew that, huh? No, I'm just joking with you. Okay, but if you do something you don't want everybody to know about it, you do it in secret. He said, do that with your good deeds. Do them in secret. Don't let everybody know about them. Just do them. Because then God will reward them. And what he's really getting at is he's still getting at that point of doing good for nothing. Because see, if you do it that people might think you're better because you did, you didn't do it from your heart. That's the bottom line. And then it's of no value. And you lose everything. Because it's like you never did it. So, any questions? Any discussion? Father, thank you for this time. We just, Lord, ask that you would help us to take to heart you want us to be about our hearts and be about doing the things you want from our hearts and not from our head and not from a reward point and not for what we can get. But again, it goes back to true religion, is to take care of widows and orphans in their need, because they can't give anything back. So we need to do the things that we do not expecting anything back, including praise, acknowledgement, anything. We need to be good for nothing. And yet, there is something, because we want to be good, because it's what you want us to be. So to a degree, there is something. But we need to be good only for your sake. Only to be obedient to you. So we ask that you give us the ability, the transforming power, to become more that all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys.